Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show improve. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Attending the retreat. This was my first time being able to concentrate on yoga for long periods of time, and I met a lot of phenomenal women. So I'm very thankful for this experience, and now I'm able to take some of the things I learned back into my regular life.
My experience at the Black Women Yoga Retreat was amazing. It was everything that I could imagine, everything that I needed. Even though I traveled here with friends, I made 17 plus other friends here.
My experience here at the yoga retreat for the women of color has been awesome. I've met so many different people, so many different like souls that I'm looking for their way. And I think for a lot of them, it has opened up a whole different world, especially within the yoga world.
I practice yoga in a place that is fairly white female dominated, and a lot of times like the vibe and the sentiment is really about like the workout and the look and like the very superficial aspects of practice, and but I know that's not what yoga is about, and so it was really refreshing for me to come here. Just like, you know, first night I arrived and I looked through the descriptions, and the theme was really about decolonizing yoga. So like, you know, acknowledging the fact that this is like a 6,000 plus year old practice that is not rooted in any sort of Western tradition.
The yamas and the niyamas. That workshop was actually very informative for me. That's one of the things that I started to study in my practice off and on for about 6 months to a year. So looking at the yamas specifically, I only really got through the first four, I believe. And it's interesting to see how much I've grown since I started practicing yoga, started practicing the yamas, and realizing that, you know, I'm thinking that I'm not practicing because I'm not doing anything physically, but through the workshop, through talking with some of the other women, it actually opened my eyes to the fact that I walk spirituality every day, and it's something that I do effortless now. And I know I used to attach myself to so many different things, so many different ways to live, and not realizing that I'm already whole in where I am right now. And just looking at the yamas and the niyamas kind of just opened my eyes to see how much further I can go, where I can look at my life and not necessarily correct the things that I'm doing, but make it better, in a sense.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018. So I have been told, since we have not, this is the first time we've been on the air since Saturday, I did want to take a moment to recognize the passing of Winnie Mandela, just to pause for someone who I had a great deal of regard for, who I think devoted her existence to fighting against racism, white supremacy in an exemplary manner. Just pause to appreciate her contributions to solving the problem. Winnie Mandela. Context of white supremacy. We will have more to say about her transition and what's been said the past few days. We'll have more to say about that as the week unfolds. We should be here on Thursday for Workplace Racism, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Tune in live. Looking forward to solving problems, sharing counter-racist suggestions. The broadcast for today was suggested by a listener. When my house flooded in December of 2017, still displaced as a result of that traumatic episode, I told listeners in, I guess, about the month and a half that we were off the air when I was dealing with, you know, the crazy housing situation and everything else. I returned to doing a lot of yoga because it was such a stressful situation. I was looking for anything nourishing, replenishing, because of all of the trauma that I was dealing with, and just going back and doing tons and tons of yoga, including today, has been really, really helpful, and just sticking with it for the past 3 months now, since the flood. It's been 3 months, but I've been talking about it on the program, some of the experiences that I have had doing yoga in white dominated environments, spaces. And some of our listeners recommended our guest for today's program, thought that it would be great. They have dealt with some of the exact same issues. In fact, you can go to their website, womenofcolorhealingretreats.com. Excellent information. Anybody, if you are a black female, if you're interested, if you have a wide array of interests, if you're interested in traveling, if you want to go check out some place maybe you haven't been before, if you want to work on your Spanish, if you're interested in yoga, if you want to network with other black females from around the globe, go check out Women of Color Healing Retreats.com. But one of our listeners recommended that I go check out the site, maybe have them on the program. Thought that I would be really eager to chat it up with them about yoga and racism. Certainly was. Reached out and they were willing to speak with us. Super excited to learn more about the retreat and why this was started. I guess the preface before we get too deep into things, the Wi-Fi is not quite the best. Hopefully it will cooperate and we won't have any issues, but the Wi-Fi is not quite the best. So if there are any technical issues, if you can be patient, hang in and we'll try to resolve things as quickly as possible. But that said, joining us live from Costa Rica, our guest, Satya X. Satya, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for sharing a bit of your time with us. So excited to have you on the program to talk about the retreat and the work that you're doing. Just for our listeners, I'm sure this is a lot of folks, this is their first time hearing from you. Just anything briefly that you would like to share to let listeners know who you are and a bit about the work that you do?
Yeah, so my name is Satya X, and I am the creator of Women of Color Healing Retreats here in Costa Rica. It's a space dedicated to Black women healing through the practice of yoga, wellness, veganism, self-care. And we also have a free program for kids of color in New York City, where we provide free yoga classes to kids in underserved communities throughout the summer to provide them basically free yoga classes.
Wow, spectacular. Folks, we have listeners in the New York area. Check out the website. Might be some information that you want to seek out. It seems obvious at this point, but just we ask everyone, you are a Black female, is that correct?
I am a Black person. I feel as though gender isn't real, so I identify as a Black person.
Oh, okay. Black person. Go with that. This program, I use the term racism and the term white supremacy as synonyms. I use the same definition for both terms, and the definition I use is as follows. A global system of people who classify themselves as white and are dedicated to abusing and or subjugating everyone in the known universe whom they classify as not white. Do you think such a system exists? Do you think that definition is accurate?
I think that definition is accurate. It's definitely an accurate definition.
Okay. Like it when it's concise. We could proceed. You did not start out on the planet in Costa Rica. You expatriated to Costa Rica. What about your experience in the United States led you to exiting?
Well, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, before gentrification. And I just noticed this pattern of white people coming in. You know, Black people weren't able to afford to live in their homes. I would see my friends having to pack up and leave, and white people hopping out of U-Haul trucks and moving into these low-income communities that were being built up specifically for them. And I got sick of things like that, seeing that throughout my life. And I just got sick of systemic racism and just everyday blatant racism that many people don't pick up on. And so one day I was going on vacation and my boss basically fired me. And I said, well, I'm not going to stay in this country. It doesn't make sense. So I packed on my bags. And the next day I went to Costa Rica and I just never left. And it was basically the best decision I ever made.
Wow. We have talked about that with workplace racism. I did mention that, where just trying to get a vacation can be all kinds of difficult. Like, wow. So I think I've even heard that before, where just trying to ask for vacation and ends up being a permanent one. But wow, that seems like a courageous decision to walk away from a stable. Did you, like, were your family and friends like, yeah, right on, Satya, good job, and let's do it? Or were they not supportive? Well,
in the beginning, I think that most people were supportive, but then it became, okay, but when are you coming back? And I think that's when people weren't supportive of it anymore. And it came from a place of fear, because most Black people are terrified of letting go of their oppressors. And so it was just a place of fear of, like, what are you going to do if you're not in the United States? What are you going to do if you're not working for a white supremacist? Like, how are you going to survive? And I just went with my ancestors in spirit, and I stayed, and everything worked out.
Wow. How did you pick Costa Rica specifically?
Costa Rica was a very random choice. My friend is from here, and I was going to either come to Costa Rica or go to Mexico. And I had a friend that was just basically like, don't go to Mexico, just go to Costa Rica. And that was it. It was a very, very, very organic, random choice, but it was definitely meant to be. But a lot of people, what I do want to talk about is that it's not, Costa Rica is a European country at the root, but I live in the Caribbean. So I live with all the Black people. I would never in my life, you know, it wouldn't make sense for me to go to another country to live amongst all white people. So I live with all the Black people.
Wow. So for our listener, including myself, who have never been to Costa Rica, can you kind of give us an idea of this environment that you went down, checked it out and said, wow, this is a place, your friend's advice as well. This is a place where I do not feel the racial oppression that you felt in New York. Can you give us just kind of as best as you can, a vivid description of the place where you are?
Yeah, well, when I got to Costa Rica, I remember I was in customs and they asked me to write down where I was from, all of these things. And I remember saying, you know, talking to them and saying that I was black. And they were like, no, you know, in Costa Rica, you're not black. You're just like this person. And that was a cool idea. And if you would have asked me this question years ago, I would have said, you know, there's no racism here. But realistically, after traveling to so many different countries and seeing so many different things, the entire world is anti-black. Anywhere you go, there are black people, and black people are the most oppressed people, hands down, anywhere you go, in a second world country or a third world country. So I'm not going to say that Costa Rica is this angelic place, because it's not, but you do feel racism a bit differently and you feel it less. And at the same time, it's because it's kind of swept under the table, but also because it's not as brutal. So it's just this, it's a mind game, you know, but everywhere you go, hands down, it doesn't matter where you go, it is going to be an anti-black place because the world is built on our blood.
Wow, that is informative. I mean, that is definitely not good news, but I always appreciate getting accurate information about, you know, the problem that we are working. Problem that we're trying to solve. That's how you solve it, with accurate information. So I'm just trying to understand. Can you give us like an example? You said it's kind of swept under the table. It's not as brutal as what you were experiencing here in the States. So have you yourself, have you been a victim of racism since you've been in Costa Rica?
Well, I have, but it's been by, you know, white Americans and Europeans that are here, because they've basically come in and they've colonized the country. The Caribbean is just so beautiful, so much culture, so many black people, but they are building up on it and they're just, you know, acting as though the black people there don't exist. And another part of it is that in Costa Rica, black people weren't allowed to leave the Caribbean until about 1945. They wouldn't allow black people to leave the Caribbean. So they weren't allowed to go to the Pacific side or to the other side of the country here. So there's, and Marcus Garvey used to live here in the Caribbean, and he left because he was sick of racism. He started a small newspaper here and he had left because he was just sick of dealing with racism here. So I mean, it has its ups and downs for sure.
Wow, what town are you in specifically?
Limon.
Okay, is that like a larger city or is that a more rural environment?
It's the city, but I basically am in Puerto Viejo, which is the Caribbean. It's extremely beautiful. I love Costa Rica for the nature. It's one of the most beautiful places I have ever seen. It's so vibrant. You know, coconuts literally are falling off the tree while you walk down the street. It's paradise. And so that's how the Caribbean is here.
Wow. Okay. And so where you are, do you see whites on a regular basis, or is it mostly black people where you are?
I see black people all the time because I make it my duty, but I see white people every single day. They own most of, so it's the Caribbean, but yet there are like Italian bakeries being built up, hairdressers by white people, like just random things that they've come in and set up shop. So you definitely see them. You definitely, you know, when you want to rent a house or buy something, that's who you're going to. The people, the local people, aren't really aware of the politics of anti-black practices. So white people come in and disguise themselves as investors, and then they pay these people here a small amount of money, they buy up their land, and then they take over and colonize. And I mean, this has been history, and it just continues to happen.
I feel like I've heard that before. That sounds so familiar, white usurpers. Yeah. And somebody just said something about gentrification, I thought. Anywho, you mentioned that that was a staple of what you wanted to do with women of color healing retreats is Black land ownership, to not just have this facility and have it be outside the states and have this be something that's a healing, nourishing experience for Black females, but also the land ownership component. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I feel as though that watching gentrification and being in, you know, the world being colonized, I feel it's extremely important for Black people to own land, because land is everything. You know, you can have all the money and all these materialistic things that don't even matter, but if you don't have land, you do not have anything, and you will not acquire generational wealth. And like, that's just the key to things. So I felt it was very important for us to have a physical safe space for us to, you know, heal and practice self-care within our own community. And just also because I've had an experience of working within a white space, a white yoga studio, and it didn't feel good. And so I said, it has to come down to it being, this is a Black-owned space. The whole property, the land, the people that work here, everyone that walks into the building needs to be a person of color for it to feel like a safe environment. You cannot heal in an environment that has made you sick.
Context of white supremacy. Joining us live from Costa Rica, our guest, Satia X. Definitely want to get to your experience working in the studio, but that is spectacular, the land ownership component. And again, you cannot heal in an environment where you don't feel safe. You're being attacked. We've talked about that consistently in a lot of different school contexts, work contexts, a lot of different hospital contexts, medical apartheid, a lot of different arenas. So how long has the retreat, Women of Color Healing Retreats, how long has this been in existence?
We've been working on it for about 4 years now. And it's just been an entire journey. It started off where I was going to only do one retreat. And then I saw this need of Black women really needing this space outside of the United States. And I said, well, it's done so much for me leaving the country. I learned so much about myself leaving and just unpacking anti-Blackness. And I just wanted to spread that. I grew up, though, my father is in the Nation of Islam. And so I grew up with certain teachings, but I lost them along the way. And so leaving the country allowed me to get back into, you know, unpacking a lot of things.
Did you grow up vegan?
No, I didn't. I wish.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. I guess I want to touch on some of the yoga aspect of this as well, and then connect that back with the racism. But I guess to start all of that, we talk about the importance of definitions on the program. I already gave the definition of racism. In fact, if I can pause 1 second, I'll remember, because I was talking about definitions. If I can just pause 1 second, speaking of definitions for listeners, if you remember Cheryl Moses, shout to Cheryl Moses, love to Cheryl Moses. But we were talking about Black people being experts on racism. I just want to make sure that we do not miss that point that our guest, Satia X, said that the Black people in Costa Rica, they don't seem to understand racism, white supremacy enough to grasp that these white invaders are coming in and stealing their land and giving them a few nickels. She said that they didn't understand. That to me would seem to suggest a global pattern of Black people not being experts about racism. That I do, just like I said before, sad, nothing to be proud of, but we do need accurate information to solve this problem. Now back to definition, yoga. What do you mean, Satia X, when you say yoga?
When I say yoga, I mean the connection of mind, body, and spirit. That's basically what yoga is. So it's basically life. Yoga is how you move within the world. It's how you navigate. It's how you react to things. It's how you handle things. It's how things come at you. It's spirit. Yoga is everything.
Comprehensive. Wow. Okay. So you were doing yoga before you got to Costa Rica? Yes?
I was meditating more before I got to Costa Rica. I didn't like yoga when I first started. When I first practiced, I was just like, I had gotten hit by a motorcycle. Wow. And I couldn't walk. Yeah. And I couldn't walk. And my friend was like, I was like, I want to practice yoga. And so we would just practice every day. And I wasn't into it. And then I eventually got into it because I started practicing with this teacher, and she never talked through the class. So I was able to just learn my body, follow my breath. And then I fell in love with yoga when I started learning more about the spiritual practice. And that's the problem with yoga today, is that everyone thinks that it's just this, that it is a fitness, but it's not fitness. Yoga is a spiritual practice. And I fell in love with it when I learned that part about it.
Wow. Where you said it was a specific teacher who didn't do a lot of talking and just kind of allowed you to learn your own body. Was that a white teacher or a non-white teacher?
That was actually a white woman. But what I learned, because, you know, we're always learning, what I learned from her was that she was an awful teacher. This was because it was in the beginning. You don't have a student practice with you, and you have to adjust them. You have to tell them, you know, how to work with their breath. You have to teach them about pranayama. You have to teach them about the chakras. She didn't teach me anything for such a long time, but I know the way that my mind works, so it was like perfect for me to begin yoga. And I was forced to learn through her because there were no black teachers around.
I know the fee, or actually, I can't even truthfully say that. I told listeners that was a part of my talking about yoga so much that actually here in Seattle, when I lived in California, that was the case. I never had non-white instructors, never had a black instructor. But since I've been here in super white Seattle, I have had lots of black instructors, male and female,
really?
Non-white. I had a non-white instructor today. In fact, every day this week, I've had a non-white instructor. Like,
that's
they have
great.
Lots of that. And I was telling listeners, it has made such a monumental impact when mm-hmm. you are doing yoga or really doing anything where you have an instructor and you get feedback and they say your name and are giving you attention and adjustments. It makes such a huge difference in terms of how you feel about the practice, learning, the enthusiasm that you have about that. I mean, it's huge, as opposed to going and, in fact, I can even give a story. I'm not trying to hog the time. I just want to give a story I think you might be able to appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I restarted my practice on December 26th, 2017, after the flood, December 26th. I go to the class. There are exactly three people in the class: myself, the instructor, white man. Instructor is a white woman. Three people. We do an hour class. She does not say a word to me in a class with exactly two students. She goes over, she gives the white guy adjustments and is, oh, you're a little off here, try this, boom, boom. Nothing, not a word, not even from like 10 yards away, like, oh, wait a minute, you know, just move over. Nothing, not a problem. I wasn't stunned. Like I said, when I was in California, that's what I expected, but that has a huge, for a lot of people, that right there would be enough to be like, this sucks. I'm never going to do this again. And the practice of yoga is something that can be a huge benefit. But racism, unfortunately, if you don't have access to non-white instructors, racism can totally obliterate your connection to the practice. And I think the reason I wanted to share that is because I think that is very common for a lot of black people that do yoga and are stuck. White spaces, white instructors. Can you comment on that?
No, I completely agree. And I feel the same exact way. You know, I keep seeing these ads and posts and articles on diversity and inclusiveness in yoga. And I'm just over it because I'm like, listen, this is a 6,000-year-old plus practice that was started by African people, because whether you believe that yoga started in Africa or you believe that it started in India, at the end of the day, Indian people are African, so it's an African practice. Now we are here in 2018 begging for a seat at the table to be included in a practice that is ours. That's a problem. And to me, you know, all of these conversations about diversity and inclusiveness in yoga if people want to take it serious, then make it. I don't agree with affirmative action, but maybe they need to do that in yoga. If you have a registered yoga school under Yoga Alliance, then there needs to be a certain quota where you need to have a certain amount of people of color that work within your studio. You know, I feel as though if we need to have a conversation about diversity and inclusiveness, then you know that your establishment is built under systemic racism, and that's a problem. And I think that is so upsetting, because yoga is a tool that can really, really help Black people to heal in anything we need. We're working with the nervous system, you know? It's not a game. Like, we're working with our nervous system. So whether you want to heal or not, you're going to heal through yoga. And it's so unfortunate that white people have attacked us in another way, you know?
Context of White Supremacy, joining us live from Costa Rica, our guest, Satia X. You were talking about some of the massive benefits. I was telling listeners, just gabbing away, that's how you ended up here, about yoga and how beneficial it's been for me. For some of our listeners who might, their only experience, and even that's another part of white supremacy racism, is because I think for most people, because of white supremacy, their immediate association with yoga is not what you said about Indian people, African people, Black people creating this practice thousands of years ago. Their entire like conceptualization and framework of yoga is white, probably specifically a white woman, but certainly someone classified as white. And they would think, this is something that has nothing to do with me, and I don't want to do this. And, you know, that's just for whites. If you were to explain to a Black person, like, these are like five concrete things, concrete ways that doing yoga has been beneficial in my life, what would you tell them?
Okay. Five concrete things that yoga, it has allowed me to really, really, really connect with myself and with spirit. I think that yoga has allowed me to also heal any form of stress that I have. So if I feel extremely stressed, I know it's because I'm not practicing. If I am within my practice where I am practicing everything, I like to practice 5 times a week. 6 times I used to do, but I felt like it was too much on my body. So I like to practice 5 times a week. So if I fall out of that practice and I become stressed, I know it's because I'm not practicing yoga. So it's allowed me to do that. It's also allowed me to just look at racism completely different. And it allowed me, I used to be really, really upset about it. And it allowed me to just be not content, but more understanding of it. What else is yoga? Yoga changed my entire life. I don't know. I just give thanks to it every day.
Wow. That's amazing. And the stress component, that is, in fact, I want to make sure I highlight that, because we talk about Black mental health and stress all the time on this program. And I think a lot of Black people directly, indirectly are talking about that all the time, talking about hypertension and being overweight and diabetes and all of that is connected very much, in my opinion.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm so sorry. Yoga is what made me want to be vegan. I was a vegetarian for 13 years. I was a vegetarian. And when I was practicing, I started practicing more of Hatha yoga. And Hatha is more about the physical body, the physical practice. But they tell you in Hatha yoga that in ancient Hatha, they eliminated dairy, stimulants, meat, anything that was unhealthy for the body was a toxin. And so you use asana to basically release those toxins. And it literally just woke me up to veganism. Yoga is so healing, you know, and meat and dairy are the leading causes of disease in Black communities. That's how they kill us. If they can't kill us when we're just walking down the street, you know, minding our business, they're going to try to do it through the food. And so that's why Black people are so addicted to fried chicken, to dairy, to cheese, because white people have literally tried to program our brain cells through the food that they give us. And so yoga allowed me to just eliminate all of those things and go completely vegan. And like, the way that I see food now is if it's made by a white person, I don't eat it. And what I do now is I'm just vegan, you know, so I eat from God. I eat from the earth. And it's because of yoga.
Oh, that is beautiful. Music to my ears. Beautiful. And listeners, I think, can confirm when I restarted my yoga practice, I regressed to veganism at the exact same time.
Nice.
Man. And the health, and I told listeners so many benefits. When I was originally doing yoga in California, I was only doing it because I ran like a savage. I ran all the time, every day, and I did distance running. So I was just looking for something to stretch my legs. That was the only reason that I was doing it. I didn't want to learn about it. I didn't know about the sutras or anything. It's just stretch so that I can run more. And it like dramatically improved my running practice. Like I just phenomenal. I became a phenomenally better runner just because of stress. Oh, just everything. It did. It was so many benefits because of doing yoga to the running. And this time, just the stress relief and everything. Like, huge fan of yoga. I would definitely encourage folks to do it, whether you go to a studio or try it on your own. Like, incredible. When you talked about your experience working in a yoga studio with a white woman, can you tell how racism kind of ruined that experience?
You know, white people it was just a horrible experience. I think that any black person, though, working, whether a black person is working a 9-to-5, whether they're working in a yoga studio, whether they're freelancing for a white company, it's hell and it's hectic. You have to put on a different face. And so just watching the way that they would, you know, just disrespect the culture, you know, and then also just pick and pull certain parts of the practice that they wanted to implement, and the things that they didn't agree with, they just kind of just toss it to the side. And that is not how you practice yoga. If you're doing yoga, you need to honor the entire practice. We're not going to know everything about yoga because there's so much to know. But what you know, you have to honor. And so they would just decide, you know, we're not going to do this. Or they would implement things like tennis balls into yoga classes. And I know that if we were in India, we would be kicked out or banned from the class for implementing tennis balls to break up our tissues, things like that. And so I'm very, very, very specific with yoga. I'm a yogi. Yoga is my whole life. And I believe in, if we're going to do anything, then we need to follow the ancestral practice. Of course, our ancestors made mistakes, and so that's why we're here today, to basically, you know, learn from them, but also help them in a way where we teach them what we know now. But I believe in respecting the ancestral practices of things, which is always African. And so these yoga studios, these white yoga studios, they don't do that. They don't follow they won't follow the traditional hatha or sangha. And that's why so many people, they go to these classes and they think that yoga is not for them, but the teacher or that class is not for you. These teachers are making up sequencing that don't make sense. You know, I had a teacher that would say, you know, go into halasana in the beginning of the class without telling us to warm up our body. That is completely dangerous. There was a teacher that told us to do inversions on the beach in the sand in the beginning, you know, just things like that. And it's just careless white people being violent and doing what they've done throughout history. So, yeah, that's just been my experience.
Wow. Wow. If I could, I guess, question with the tennis balls, what would your response be to people who say, well, you know, things evolve and you can have respect for the, well, not that whites have shown any respect for the answers, not saying that, but yeah, that you could certainly, you have upgrades, right? And
I get that. But I think that those upgrades need to be by people of color. I think that if we're going to change things, then we need to change our own practices, or else it's just appropriation. It's just colonizing. It's just all of the things that we fight against every single day. But I understand that part of it, you know, and I mean, I've sat in certain classes that were very, very Western. I'll practice some acro yoga. I definitely will. And it's such a white practice. It's by this white couple. And so you just have to be mindful of it. But I have a problem because guess what? Yoga is good as it is. we do not need to actually change it. You know, that's the beauty of yoga. It's an ancient practice that healed people and continues to heal people every single day. We don't have to go and jump in and modify the practice. Yoga is perfect as is.
Absolutely. And with the appropriation, white theft of yes. Black practices, the class that I took yesterday, it was mm-hmm. a substitute. Normally, it would have been a non-white instructor, but she was out of town. They had a substitute, of course, white woman. Not just a white woman that was born in Germany, no less. She played a Sanzula during Shavasana. Man. For people who don't know what a Sanzula is, if you know what a thumb piano is, a little gadget, I can't simulate the sound effects. It's very unique. But a thumb, look it up if you are near your phone or what have you. Thumb piano. It's a thumb piano on top of like a drum head. So it gives a slightly, I mean, you can recognize it immediately as, oh, that sounds like a thumb piano, but it's a little different because it's on it. I mean, that did not come from Germany. No German person, Hitler and company, did not make that device unless I had been greatly misinformed. On the one hand, I was like, wow, that is amazing at a yoga, because most of the time, that's not it. They're playing Drake and, you know, well, I mean, that at least the classes that I've been to, that's what they're playing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's rowdy, it's party, like, it's all over the place. To have a thumb piano, like, wow, that seems way closer to what yoga should be, but it was a white German, like, it was... I was very incongruent, very, very incongruent about the whole every. I'm so ignorant, I had to go ask her. I didn't even know what it was. Like, what? I knew it was a thumb piano or something close to a thumb piano. But at any rate, white women, yoga, lots of conversation around racism. We have listeners, if you have questions, the number 641-715-3640. The code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. And in fact, I don't know, Red in Nevada, she participated in the discussion when I was running my mouth about yoga, and she said that she went to a practice. She had a white female instructor, and the I'm going to say this racist woman was very insistent with her, like, no, your body has to be in this position. You have to be exactly here. And she kept doing it and kept doing it. And it just ruined her experience. And she stopped practicing again. I think that's
sad.
Just, can you talk about that form of regression? Did you ever experience that in any of the classes that you took with white people?
Let me see. I mean, I've experienced where I've corrected a white teacher and they basically brought it back to yoga, what a lot of white yoga teachers like to bring things back to, or yogis would say, is that yoga is for everyone. And that allows them to think that they can eliminate that this is a practice by people of color. So I've seen that happen a lot. I haven't really experienced an aggressive, I have experienced an aggressive yoga teacher and I walked out the class.
Wow.
I will walk out of a class. You know, I will not allow myself to be disrespected in that way in yoga by a white person. I will just walk out of the class. I've had classes where I felt as though the music was too loud, because I have a problem with music within yoga, because if we were to really, really go to India or to practice traditional yoga, nobody is playing music within the class, because music actually... kind of interrupts your practice. You're supposed to be listening to your breath throughout the entire practice. And so with yoga, you are supposed to be challenging yourself to have your mind silenced, you know, to connect mind, body, and spirit. It is supposed to be a challenge. And with music, a lot of yoga teachers like to use music as a way to a space filler, you know, for the classroom, or to make the class seem even more interesting. But really, the students shouldn't, there shouldn't be any music in the class. So if the music is too loud, because most people practice with music, which is like fine, but I have a problem with it. So if the music is too loud, I'll say something and the teachers, you know, they'll get offended and things like that. And a lot of white yoga teachers also have a habit of playing things like the Beatles or poppy music that they like. There was this one teacher here in Costa Rica, and he said, you know, today we're going to have hip-hop yoga, and if you don't like it, you can leave. Like, I'm out of here. So, it's just an interesting practice. And don't get me wrong, some teachers are amazing, but you keep going to that same white teacher over and over, and you go deeper into your own practice, and you also know your African history, you're going to want to get out of that class and find a person of color to teach you. And that's why I say it's so important for these yoga studios, for these diversity and inclusive conversations to just stop, and for it to be a real, real demand, where if you own a yoga studio, then you need to have a certain amount of people of color working throughout your studio, so that we don't need to search for people that look like ourselves for a practice that we started.
Absolutely. It makes a huge difference, having,
and our bodies are different. You know, I've had that experience. Our bodies are different. Black people, we have different bodies, we have different shapes, we have different curves, we have different back curves. And so when these white teachers, they make certain adjustments, they don't realize our bodies are different. And like in our retreats, our teachers are stellar because they know how our bodies work. But so that's why representation is very, very, very important in yoga.
I was going to add another moment of aggression, what I labeled white aggression in yoga. But just for context, I wanted to ask just your perspective in terms of core, the abdominals. How important is that in your practice of yoga?
Oh my goodness, it's so important. It's so much. Core is everything. Core is everything. It's everything. I've had a weak core and I've had to build it all the way up. Because if you don't have core strength, you're not going to really be able to get these inversions. You're not going to be able to really do plank. There's so many asanas you're not going to be able to do. So core strength is really important. And you can build it up. You know, that's what's so beautiful about yoga. You can start and not be flexible at all. And yoga is going to bring you flexibility. And that's one of the problems, is that when we see yoga in the Black community, we see it as like this competition, or like people are more flexible and things like that. But it's like, no, yoga is for every single Black body walking. And it doesn't matter if you know how to stretch, if you know how to do anything, you don't need to. The practice is going to bring you everything you need.
Absolutely.
I love us, but we do a lot of damage to yoga as far as how it's being represented. And I we have to be honest about that. You know, we can't participate in watering down our own practice.
You see a lot of that in terms of making it competitive, like who's more flexible or who can hold plank longest.
Yeah, I see that. And I see just a lot of ego-based practices. I see basically, you know, people are dancing in yoga. And when did we start twerking? When did we start grinding on yoga mats? I want to know, when did Patanjali tell you to, or you know what I mean? Or when did Maya, whoever you believe in, tell you that that was part of the practice? And it also defeats it, because we should be aligned in a certain way for our bodies to open up. So it's like you're not getting the full benefit of the practice if you're grinding on a yoga mat. I don't understand why we do this.
Wow, I've never seen that. That is... I'm going to have to keep an eye out for that when I go to practice tomorrow to see if anybody breaks into spontaneous twerking. But wow. I don't want to lose the core aspect, what she said, though, about the importance of core, because I was very weak in my core and I'm still building it up. However, after doing yoga daily for 3 months, I am not weak in my core anymore. And now I go to class, I request core for all of the classes where they say, you know, anything people want to work on, I am the first person to say core. And I had white people become aggressive about this twice, and it happened quickly. It started happened repeatedly. Typically, if you have a class where someone says requests CORE, or even if CORE is mentioned, a lot of times you'll hear collective groan. Now, taking into account what she just said, that's my view, and I've heard that repeated consistently, that having really strong abs, real important to, you know, strengthening your yoga practice and doing those inversions and headstands and all that stuff. You need really strong ab muscles to support. It's good for your posture, like so many benefits to having strong abs. And then you look, get to look cool in the summertime, all of that. Groan, oh, we don't want to do CORE. We don't. That's very, very common. My experience that was very irregular and beyond just the groan, the first time it happened, I was talking to my non-white instructor, who I love. End of class, I'm thanking her and I'm saying, you know, we really didn't do any CORE. You know, I feel like we kind of cheated out on that. And she was like, I don't really like CORE. That's why I try to minimize doing it in practice and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, moving on. Yeah, that's what she said. Anyway, she has super flat abs, so whatever. A white guy who was not even in the class, he's coming in for the next class, immediately comes up and says, I hate it when people ask for CORE in yoga. If you want CORE, you can just go to the gym. This is not about coming here and doing lots of crunches. I didn't say anything about doing crunches. I just said, you know, we didn't do CORE. And I'm like, wow, like you weren't even in the class. Like, how did you even? And incident number one, 10 days later, I'm in class. They say any request, let's do CORE. Arr, we don't want to do CORE. The instructor, white woman, she says, okay, everyone, make sure you send Gus some love when we get to the CORE part of class. Mm-hmm. We get to the CORE part, and I'll tell you what we were doing. So, okay, you have your legs above your head. You have your you're on your back. You have your hands extended above your head on the floor, right? Above your head, and your legs are to the ceiling. You're kind of in an L shape. You get your yoga block, and you're just going up and lifting your legs down and just going back and forth doing that. So we do like one round of that, I think five breaths. I don't know. And we stop. She's like, we're going to take a break. And then we do one more round. White guy yells out, who are we supposed to thank for doing this? Whoa, whoa, whoa. We are in a Sunday morning yoga class. No, yes. It's the Sabbath. Who yells out in a yoga class? I thought they said, if you don't want to do it, just don't do it. If you don't want to do this, right. You can do child's pose. They give lots of options.
Right.
If you, I have, and I still haven't to this day, I have never heard someone yell out in anger at another person about, why are we doing this pose? Or I don't want, never. And I was just like, because of that, now every class, I ask, and I don't just ask for CORE now that my abs are strong. I ask for CORE and do it with a smile. Like when they gripe about it, just because they've been so nasty and racist about it. Do you think I'm out of line or am I misconstruing thinking that
I think that you're completely aligned. Like that's what, first of all, CORE is important. And in yoga, you're supposed to be practicing the asanas you dislike the most. You're not supposed to be just doing the asanas that you mastered already. What's the point? You've already done that, you know? So and you need CORE strength continuously. And I think that you should always ask for what you need. So like that's, the students were out of control in that class.
On a Sunday morning, I just want to emphasize, on a Sunday morning, yes, yelling.
I'm not getting my way. That's the problem.
Have you had any, I was going to ask if you've had any white female specifically, but if you've had anyone who has, you know, questioned or raised issue with why you exclude whites from the women of color healing retreats.
Oh, yeah. So we didn't have that. Well, in Costa Rica, people would ask about it, things like that. But it was pretty, pretty, pretty chill. But when the Vice segment aired, we still get emails. People were emailing and asking, you know, why aren't white people allowed and all of these things. And I said, well, it's called Women of Color Healing Retreats. That's why. But yeah, people definitely ask about why, what's the reason. And they still inquire on if I've had white women try to attend the retreats, all of those things. So yeah, people have definitely asked about it.
Do you have like a codified response for, bam, this is what I say, I've got it perfected?
No, I go with whatever I'm feeling that day, or I just don't answer. Now I don't answer. So since the Vice segment aired, if someone emails me and they say, because people do things, you know, they do it deliberately. So they'll say, you know, I'm whatever race, can I come to the retreat? I don't answer it, because if you go to the website, it says, you know, we recognize that the terms Black, Negro, African were all given to us by our oppressors, so we do not practice being attached to any of the terms. Women of Color Healing Retreats is a space for Black women and for women of color who identify as Black. So that's it. You know, that's who's coming. That's who's getting in. And there's no question. There's no anything. You know, if someone has a question about it, they can go to the FAQ page. No.
Have you had, like, I'm just trying to see, like, the identity or the vetting process, I guess it would be. Like, do you, are you able to see what the person looks like? Or if you had white people show up and you had to be like, oh, no, sorry, this is.
Oh, no, I've had like, straight up emails, even before the Vice segment, I've had emails where they've asked me, you know, I am a white woman and I want to come because my friend is Black and we just think that the retreat in general is amazing and we want to experience it together. And I've said, you know, well, you definitely can't come, but your friend can come because this retreat is a safe space. because this retreat is a safe space for Black women and for people of color. Because I do work with Black men in the surf lessons. I hire Black men throughout the retreat. And so I tell them, like, it's a safe space for people of color, so you wouldn't be able to come to this retreat. And also, there are a million retreats for white people.
Amen.
Why are you?
Amen.
Right? So I'm like, wow, there's a million things, and you're upset that you can't get into this one space. You know, they're just, it's just this thing with thinking that you're just entitled to everything, even a Black woman's space.
Satiya X, live from Costa Rica, context of white supremacy. What's your favorite yoga posture?
Oh, that's a good question. Shavasana, right now.
Oh, that's perfect answer. Perfect
but
answer.
Let me tell you why right now. The reason why it is because I used to, during Shavasana, I would just, you know, think about what I needed to do next, all of those things. But I stopped doing that and I started to just focus on my third eye and really, really, really being in tune with my breath. And I feel as though it's opened me up a lot. So right now it's my favorite.
Wow. That is perfect answer. And that is exactly what my yoga instructor, or one of my yoga instructors said this week. Somehow it came up like, what's your favorite posture? What's the most important posture? And he said, it's Shavasana, of course. For people who do not do yoga, Shavasana is generally what you do at the very end, where you just get to lie flat on your mat, on your back, and just stretch out, lay out, and be as comfortable as you possibly can. And just breathe. And
it's the most important. It allows you, because after you practice all of those asanas, it allows it, you know, we have memory. So it allows your body to know what it's just done. It allows everything to sink in. And also Shavasana is actually there. It's supposed to prepare you for death, to allow you to be, you know, understanding and accepting of it and to have a peaceful death. That's what it's supposed to be for too.
Wow. I did not know that. I did not know that. Wow. I can give you another quick story from my practice, and then we can get some of the callers. I stopped doing Shavasana. I was thinking of the different ways that I have been impacted by doing yoga in an environment that is dominated by racists, and how my practice has been shaped by that experience. And I'm very aggressive with my yoga practice. Like, the shirt that I wear to every single yoga practice without fail is my shirt. It says, please respect me like I am a white person. I wear that to every single yoga class. Every single yoga class. I do take my shirt off in class, but at least I start the class so that they can see that I have that on. Every single yoga class, like one of my favorite moments, I wore that shirt and this white woman, she was working there. She said, you always have the funniest shirts on. Let me see what your shirt says. And she looked and she saw it was that one. Her smile totally dropped. She just said, oh, and I went to class. I wear that shirt to every class, but I did not even do Shavasana for a long time in class because I would go and see these are white. Like I do yoga. In fact, I don't just do class every day. This week, since Sunday, I have taken 9 classes. Last week, I took 17 classes. And the week before, I took 17 classes.
That's amazing. You must feel good right now.
I feel I feel better than I felt in years. And a huge part of that is because of the non-white instructor that I love. When I was not doing 17 classes a week, I was going to take a restorative class. She thought I was coming to take her class, which was at the same time. She just assumed I was there for that. And I said, I'm not qualified for that. It says on the website that you have to have been practicing for a year to take. It's a level 2-3 class. And she said, oh, I've seen you practice before. At that time, I'd only been practicing for a month. And she said, well, I've seen you practice before. You can do it. It's no problem. If the same thing I said before, if something comes up that you don't like or can't do, just don't do it. You can take the class. And just her, she had more confidence in what I could do than I did at that time. That had a huge impact. I took her class and I was able to do it. And now I take 17 classes a week, no problem. Anyway, in taking that many classes, I see all of the same people all of the time. So I would come and see these white people and they would never, like, I would see them every day. Like some of these people, I see them 5 times a week. And as soon as we get outside, they don't speak nothing. And I'm not there to make friends. I'm not confused about any of this, but it has made me very aggressive in how my mindset went. So I have my shirt on. For a long time, I didn't do Shavasana. The non-white yoga instructor yesterday, she commented, she said, you never open your hands in Shavasana, which is the way most people take it. Most of the time, I hug myself and I do that. A different non-white instructor, she told us at the end, she said, if you want to take it with your hands up, that's fine. If you need more love and self-care, give yourself a hug. That resonated. I have been doing it, and because I'm frequently doing yoga with people that I regard as racists, since I'm not doing yoga with friends, I will keep my energy to myself. And so that's like, it has had a huge impact on, I don't even do child's pose most of the time with the class. Like I just work and stay focused on other things. But I think I would have a very different practice if I was only practicing with black people, non-white people.
I think for me too, because I go, you know, in my retreats, it's all black everything. But what in my everyday life in the Costa Rica, well, right now, I'm actually going to the studio here. All of the classes are just all Costa Rican people, which are a lot of brown people. So it's pretty, pretty amazing. So I'm having a great time in the classes here. But before, it would be all white people. So I felt the same way. I would just go put my yoga mat down, practice, and like, deuce out and like head out of class. Everybody would be standing around talking. You know, you have to pass the water bottle to clean the mat. I get my water bottle and I gotta go.
Yep. That is exactly how I function. And people, you know, had commented about it and everything, but it's just saying this is Seattle. I can't even emphasize. It's not like I am in super white Seattle, where almost every class I am the only black person and a black male at that.
But you know what? That's actually good the way that we have done it, because at the end of the day, yoga is about you. It's not about anybody else. Just as in a way where yoga is not a sport, it's not a competition, it's not a fitness class. It is your own practice where you are healing yourself and connecting with yourself. So you have the right to go into a class and say, I'm just going to focus on my practice and leave. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. You know what I mean? They try to make it seem as though you have to be part of like their white yoga community. And no, you don't have to, because the practice is really about you. It's a personal practice.
Absolutely. I agree completely. I see some of the folks that had a hand up, Red in Nevada, who I mentioned previously. I hope I didn't steal your question if you were going to comment on that. Red in Nevada, did you have a question for Satya? You should be with us.
So thank you for taking my call, and hello, Ms. Satia. And actually, I was going to just briefly say something about that, just more details. And it actually scared me away from doing yoga for years. But I was at a yoga class, and it was for a gym in Las Vegas. I live in Nevada, and the white instructors, mainly white females or people who might classify themselves as white, who maybe speak Spanish. And she was like, you know, sit on your feet. And that was my first yoga class. And I made sure to go into one of the beginner ones. And she just kept saying it and kept saying it. And I felt like I wasn't really all that flexible, and I wasn't as small as everybody else in the class. And I actually did basically the same thing that you did. So like when I felt that the time was right, I put the mat away and I left. And then I didn't, you know, do anything like that for five plus years. And then I started to, I decided one day to Google like black females doing yoga. And that's what kind of helped me, because I'm like, if my body is different than theirs and they don't really care. She didn't try to help me or anything. She just kept kind of like just barking the order. And so that was a little bit more about my story. But the question that I did have was actually you all kind of covered everything. What kind of led you to your belief or your feeling as far as gender not really being a something like a social thing? I think that's what you might have said. Yes, a concept. Well, yes.
And, most of the things that we are living today are social constructs. You know, gender isn't real. We've been taught, you know, this is what a man is and this is what a man does. This is what a woman is and this is what a woman does. But it's not, you know, we can say we have feminine and masculine energies, but it's not real. And so now that we have gender, now we're assigned gender roles. And so now it becomes, you are assigned this gender role as a woman. Now it becomes, this is the way that you are supposed to live, but none of it is real. We are just beings. We're honestly, at the end of the day, we're not even black. You know, white people gave us that name. We don't have a term for ourselves, because they literally came in and interrupted our beautiful history and, you know, renamed us and told us how we were going to navigate the world. And so I like to always talk about unlearning, you know, all the way down to as far as we can get in history, and to see what we created and what we started. But that's what, do you understand what I mean?
Oh, yes, I definitely understand. Then I guess the only other question that I had, I understand that you said, you know, that you do have basically all black everything, but then white people are still coming in and still basically doing what they typically do, colonize. So do you have any like fears, maybe like within the near future, maybe 5 or 10 years, that they will, you know, as they did in New York, come and maybe try to buy up the land that you are currently on? And that'll be my last question. I'll mute my line. Thank you for taking my call.
No, I don't have any fear around it at all, because I will not sell. You know, I really follow the teachings of Marcus Garvey and Malcolm X and so many other black revolutionaries. And I think that, you know, we've had prophets tell us time and time again of what we need to do. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that we needed to leave the United States, go outside of the country, acquire land, start our own nation. And so I really respect those beliefs. I really believe in those teachings. I really believe in creating a black nation. So I will not sell to a white person. Like, I will not do business with white people.
Context of white supremacy. Thank you, Red in Nevada. Retired firefighter in Florida, did you have a question for Satia X? You should be with us, sir.
Greetings, everyone. Just about all of the questions that I had through the thorough interview was answered. And I would say to the affirmative and positive in the answering. I just would like to commend the guests to the highest level about what she's doing. I think the ladies that she deals with is something that is very much deserving. I do kind of wish I was like a, and I'm going to use a metaphor, Gus, a crow on a fence, just to be able to observe all of this this intelligence and beauty that's doing that type of spiritual work. And I also appreciate to the highest her analysis of the Caribbean, because oftentimes you have non-white people that I come in contact with in this part of the world, and they have more of a, I would say, a incorrect analysis of the Caribbean as far as that concerned. And they're more or less bragging, and in my opinion, using anti-blackness in their bragging about the position in those areas. And I really appreciate someone who really was bold enough to just drop things that she was involved in because it's incorrect for her, and go somewhere else that she thought was better for her. And I mean, that's like the ultimate of self-confidence. And just like to, you know, commend her for that. And it's also between yourself and the guests, it's getting me more and more interested into doing some research on and getting involved with yoga. It's probably, I think, is a yoga class maybe down at this center in a few miles from where I stay at. I'm gonna go and examine and see if it is such. And y'all really are helping me thinking about that instead of just lifting weights and running. Thank you for the program.
You're in Miami. It's yoga studios all over the place. I'm sure you could easily find like 10, 15.
If the people in charge are like your guests, that would be the question with me.
I actually, one of my main yoga teachers, black woman, her name is Kayla Butler. She's in Florida, based in Florida, and she teaches yoga to black people in Florida. I'm going to somehow, if I could get your contact, put her in contact with you, and she would provide you yoga classes. She's a black woman. She's excellent. She gives teachings to black men all the time. And also, there is a black man that creates retreats for black people, and I can give you his contact info as well. And I want to say thank you for what you said, because there's a lot of people that, I don't want to say aren't conscious, but just aren't aware of how conditioned we are. And so I really appreciate platforms like the COWS and people like you that understand where I'm coming from and that are aligned with what blackness means. So I really appreciate what you've said too.
For sure. I will.
Yes, ma'am.
Facilitate passing the information. If you want to email it to me, I can shoot it to him or whatever. Definitely. But I can just say quickly, as again, I came to yoga because I was a runner. That's why I came to yoga. And yoga, just the benefits are amazing. Like, she gave a ton of great practical benefits. I can say even just one, balance. One of my non-white yoga instructors, she just said last month, she said, when we do all these wacky poses where you're balancing on one foot and all this stuff, you know, there is a practical benefit. The sidewalk is not even. You might, if you're fortunate, live to become older, where balance becomes a problem. If you can strengthen these muscles, that can be a big benefit just practically in life. Weeks later, I'm going to yoga class in Seattle. Guess what? It rained. There's a slick spot on the sidewalk. My foot slid, but I had 2 feet on the ground and immediately caught myself. I said, oh, man, I'm pretty good at balancing on one foot. If I have 2 feet on the ground, I'm going to be on my square. It's going to take a lot to knock me off balance if I can get 2 feet on the ground. And that, I think, is a huge benefit. Just being grounded. That was something I forgot, in when you practice daily And particularly when you get good at balance, like you, when you have 2 feet on the ground, you become so grounded. It's a very, it's just a very different feeling. Like your posture, because that's another total benefit. Your posture improves drastically. Oh,
yeah.
Core helps a lot with that too. Your core is so strong. When your sitting posture improves drastically, your standing posture improves drastically. I mean, it's huge practical benefits for yoga. Core strength helps with a lot of that too, but just balance, being balanced.
And they say that yoga is really good for, I'm sorry, they say that it's good to pair it with weightlifting too.
Keeps you from being uptight. Absolutely, tons of benefits to pair yoga with any other physical activity that you're doing. Some of the, I did crow's pose today, I think like 3 times we did that. The person that called in, Thomas in New York, did you have a question for Satya X, Thomas in New York?
Yes, good evening, guys. Good evening, Satya. My quick question was, are you familiar with Nature Boy? I know that there's a YouTube personality named Nature Boy who moved a whole bunch of people to Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know if you were familiar with him, and that was my only question. Thank you.
Yeah, Nature Girl Mocha is one of my greatest friends. We were roommates in Costa Rica. So, yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Okay, right on. Appreciate that, Thomas in New York. Ivy, if you had a question for Satya X, you should be with us.
Yes, greetings, Gus. And is it Satya? Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Satya.
You said Satya?
Yeah, it's one of the yamas of yoga. It means truthfulness.
Oh, that's awesome. Greetings and greetings to everyone on the line. Thank you for coming on the program. I found your commentary just extremely informative. I had 2 questions, if I can ask them. The first one was, can you tell me how, I think you said, and forgive me if I'm not saying it right, what you said, that the racism in Costa Rica is, I believe you said, different and less than it is in the States. And so I was wanting to know how, like, what the difference is. How is it different? How is it less? Like, maybe an example or two. That was my first question.
Well, I'm saying that it's less, and I'm saying it from a Black person from the United States. I think that if I was saying it from a perspective from a Black person that was born and raised here, they might say it's the same way. So I have to put that out there. So I don't really want to speak too much for the Black experience here, for the people born and raised here, because I think that if I was born and raised in Costa Rica as a Black person, I would be over the top pissed, because you have the Black people that were born here, then you have the white Costa Rican people, and then you have the white American and European people. So it's heavy. But I say that it's different because I'm looking at it from my experience of being from a different country. And so I feel as though, you know, the United States is, you know, just top racist. But from someone living here, they might have a different feeling about it.
Well, I'm actually, you know, from the States as well. Could you tell me, like, how, I guess, you personally have experienced it differently?
In Costa Rica? Well, I feel like I experienced it differently because I don't have to be around it as much. Well, also because I don't really have any white people in my life at all. So I guess that's why I experience racism different. I really feel like I experienced it more in a systemic way instead of a personal way. I think that, you know, a lot of Black people complain about white people and racism and all of these things, but then they are best friends with white people, or they're constantly having conversations with them, trying to teach them how to not be racist, and that's not where I'm at. So I feel as though I have this different experience of racism with where I'm at in my life, because my way of combating racism is to eliminate white people from out of my personal life.
Okay, thank you for that. That was very helpful, and is exactly what I was trying to understand. And my only other question was, I know that, if I'm not mistaken, white people tried to bring a case against the directors and a lot of the people from the Black Panther movie because they were saying it was only one white person in it or two or whatever. And we know that white people are, you know, invaders, just even as you were talking about in the Caribbean. Do you know how you can, I guess, are you concerned with, you know, them coming in and maybe trying to sue or something like that, trying to, you know, so that they can invade, or how you can, I guess, protect against that?
They've tried. I mean, they've attempted, because it's a Black space, so white people cannot take women of color healing retreats. They can't take my commentary. They can't deal with me. They've attempted, but I feel as though I am just so connected with our ancestors and with spirit. I feel so protected walking in this earth that, you know, they could come at me with paperwork, with anything that they want, and we're going to come out all right. You know, I just think that the problem is when we look to them for validation, or when we kind of fold and then we go to them, that's when we mess up. But I really believe if you keep it Black, you're going to be okay.
Okay, thank you for that. Now I'll mute my line. Thanks, Gus. Take care, everybody.
Appreciate that, Ivy. M. Handisi, did you have a question for Satya X?
Yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Greetings. And greetings to you, Ms. Satya.
Hi.
I had a question as to, well, I had a few short questions. The first question was, the people there, the Black people, do they identify themselves as indigenous to that area?
Oh, that's a great question.
And or there's like three ways I think they can identify themselves. Do they identify themselves as indigenous from that area only? Do they identify themselves as African only? Or do they identify themselves as both?
So in Costa Rica, they have the Bribri tribe, and they say that those are the indigenous people of the country, the Bribri people, and they are basically native people, and that's who people, you know, say that they're indigenous. Now, the Black people here, they say that they came from Jamaica through the banana plantation and through slavery, and that's how they got here. So a lot of Black people here, they identify as African. They're very, very, very much deeply into their roots. It's very beautiful. But then you also have, at the same time, the same people don't align with being Black. You know, it's very much one love. They see white people as their saviors. Like, I was dating someone, a Black person here, and he basically broke it down to me that they look at white people as their saviors because white people have come in and given them crumbs. But because it's a third world country, there's nowhere else to look to. So they look at them as if they're saviors. So it's very, very complicated, the race here.
Okay.
And that's why for me
now,
it's just very important.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
I was saying, like, that's why for me it was super, it's just super important to, like, work with the Black, because I work with the Black people from Costa Rica as well, and so it's very important for me to come in and to give them jobs, to have them see a Black person come in and to give them jobs, instead of them constantly having to beg for scraps from white Americans and Europeans, so that they can have, like, lose this mindset that white people are hurting them, but are also their saviors, so that they can see the reality of the situation.
That's good. Now, the individuals that come from Jamaica, do they consider themselves indigenous to the Americas, the North and Central South America? Do they consider themselves indigenous to the Americas? Or do they say, we just came here from Africa?
They say they just came from Africa. That's it. They feel like they basically don't even feel aligned to the Americas at all.
You said they feel like they basically.
They kind of don't feel like they have anything to do with, like, the Americas at all. But I mean, ultimately, yeah, we know the whole world is Africa, no matter where we go. If we're in Costa Rica, if we're in Mexico, we're in Africa. Because maps and continents, none of this shit is real. I'm sorry to curse, but none of it is real.
And now, within the construction or the social constructs of the Americas and Africa. Now, what is the likelihood that the Black people in the Caribbean will ally with the rest of the Black Americans?
It's small, you know. Pan-Africanism is a beautiful concept, and I'm all about it, but it's very, very small. We've been divided in a lot of different ways. White people have done a lot of damage by traveling to these countries and just implementing false beliefs about Black Americans or about Black people in general. So it's very, very low chance.
Yes, those were my questions. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Caller who dialed in, last four digits, 9063. Did you have a question for Satya? Did you have a question?
Hi, this is Technically Speaking. Can I be heard?
Oh, greetings. I call in Wisconsin.
Actually, I'm in Wisconsin. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the voice confused. My apologies, ma'am. I'm sorry. Technically Speaking, go ahead with your question.
I actually had a statement or a comment about my experience with a retreat like this and wanted to get feedback or thoughts from the guests, if that's okay, or anyone else.
Sure, let's hear it.
Thank you. Thank you to the guests and to you guys for having the show and being here. I first wanted to say to the guests that I'm just so glad that you're so bold in your stance about Blackness and having a space where Blackness can be sacred and safe. And so I really appreciate that. And it just reminds me of a post that I just made from a quote that our Queen Mother, Winnie Mandela, said. And she said, one of her quotes is, "I'm not sorry. I will never be sorry. I would do everything I did again if I had to, everything." So it really reminds me of that same type of spirit, which I really appreciate. So when I heard that this broadcast was going on, like, my spirit really leaped because of the experiences I recently had about a year ago with going to retreats that were for Black women. And I didn't really know it was for Black women. I had never been to a retreat, and I wasn't really that excited about going, except that I had been experiencing what I call undiagnosed illness, like really, really extreme fatigue. So I went to the retreat, and what I got from it was so life-changing, so healing, that I was just in shock, and it kind of changed my whole paradigm of how I saw things, because I am a person who really loves Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. One thing that I love about her patient teaching is she would always say that Black self-respect is more powerful than any weapon. I'm paraphrasing. She would say a certain weapon, a bomb or whatnot. And just that simple statement, I started to see as a real solution, because I started to see that as self-respect from the standpoint of just respecting my Blackness enough to feed myself properly, to engage in self-care, and to extend that same love for myself to my other sisters and brothers, how that statement had so much from the standpoint of just on the surface, just beneath the surface, and deep under the surface. Because when I got around these other sisters, I felt that, just kind of like you mentioned about yoga, like there was some type of ancient wisdom or frequency or something more that was coming from just being around this. And I feel like as I've been learning and growing and recognizing, coming to terms with what we can know about racism, white supremacy, I'm just really sensitive to like the deliberate disrespect that is a constant. It's just like a something that these people are driven to do. And so the energy, the frequency of just being in their presence has, I'm observing myself, it's been very, very toxic. And so I feel like the radical individualism that kept me feeling like maybe, you know, why would I need to go to a retreat with a lot of other Black women or even be around a lot of other Black women in some type of healing way? I think that's something that keeps us in our own self-made solitary confinement. So, you know, it's the results I got from this, it was really amazing. It's like somebody being starved for oxygen and then getting like full doses of oxygen. And so, you know, it's led me to even start some little retreat type things on my own. And so I just wanted to share that experience, see if you had any comments or anyone else had any comments about this, because I think that, you know, as our elder mentioned about self-respect, I think this is a major form of self-respect that can lead to big things for us, big ways of solving our problems and healing. And I see this seeming to be a frequency that's going out all over the globe. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have to say. Thank you all for listening.
I guess, did you have a comment, Satya? Did you have a comment? Or
yeah, what you said is very true. I think that retreats, generally speaking, are really, really transformative because you do get, whether it's a 4-day, 7-day, 10-day retreat this time, if it's a Black retreat, to be within your own community, to unpack and to be with people that mirror you. So it is a transformative thing. I agree with what she said pretty much. So, yeah.
I'm so glad you had that experience, technically speaking. My apologies again for mixing you up with our caller in Wisconsin. I am a victim. Thank you for being patient. But I'm so glad you had that experience. And I think because of white supremacy, there's been so much anti-Blackness and that conditioning. I think Satya, she said that we've been conditioned, part of our victimization. We have been trained, coordinated to be in conflict with each other. And so when you can be in an environment where it's constructive and it's not combative and we're not, you know, here to argue and name call and all that, like we're here doing something constructive and supporting one another and being patient and listening. And, you know, you feel safe where you can talk and, you know, discuss issues like, oh man, like I think a lot of just basic companionship, the basic humanity that I think white supremacy unfortunately does an exceptional job extinguishing. I think a lot of that goes to why Satya founded Women of Color Healing Retreats. Go to the website, womenofcolorhealingretreats.com. The person who dialed
in. And it's just really important for us to just continue to unlearn all of these things that they've tried to, you know, instill in us, because none of it is true. You know, they have taught us that, like, they need to be in our presence for us to do anything. And, you know, a lot of people have asked me, you know, it's these 15 to 20 Black women. Does anybody argue? What happens? And that's the people expect that. But we come together and it is so peaceful. We cook together. It's such a community environment. And there's no classism. You know, it can be someone that is from the hood, somebody that's from the suburbs. It does not matter where you're from. We're going to come together and we're going to talk about it and we're going to work this shit out, because classism is really, really what's going to, it's really, really breaking the Black community. Black people thinking that they're better than other Black people is a huge problem. And so basically just to unlearn all of these things allows us to heal ourselves. But more importantly, it allows us to heal the youth, because that's the priority, is the youth. That's who needs to be, you know, who we need to be thinking about.
Amen. Person who dialed in, last four digits, 6946. 6946, did you have a question for Satya? You should be with us.
Yes, can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This is a caller from Wisconsin. I just want to say briefly, thank you very much, Satya, for being on the program. It's been highly informative, highly educational, and very inspiring. I did have a question. I'm a big fan of meditation, and so I was interested in yoga, but the presence of white females has really put me off from going to yoga classes. I guess yoga looks a bit maybe for lack of a better term, dangerous to try on your own. But do you think there are some ways a beginner could try maybe learning on their own?
Yeah, there's definitely ways. There's some Black women that are yoga teachers that have put out videos where you can practice in your home. Because I have the same issue. I can come up with those same issues as well where I'm like, you know what, this week I don't want to see a white person. And so I'll have to practice in my house by myself. So if you can somehow get we can do an email exchange. I can get that out to you, or I can give you women that are doing both comedic yoga, hatha yoga, all kinds of yoga that have put out DVDs that are selling it. One of my teachers, her name is Ona Hawk. She's all about practicing African yoga. You can do classes with her right in your home. You don't have to worry about white people at all, because I definitely understand that part of not wanting to go to class.
And just
this is so unfortunate.
Absolutely. I was just going to add quickly. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to add, in terms of being a beginner, when I started originally, I started practicing by myself. And I mean, unless you're talking like inversions, I think the vast majority of poses you could pretty safely do by yourself.
Oh, and, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I don't think it's enough to be intimidated by. I think most of the beginner poses, I think you might tip over, but I don't think it would be any serious injury, and it wouldn't even be embarrassing because you'll be by yourself. I think you'll be.
And join our mailing list, because what we're trying to do 2018 this summer and starting all of next year, we're trying to go around in the United States to provide yoga classes, you know, to studios that'll donate so we can give free yoga classes to only Black people. So join our mailing list so that we can see like what cities that we can go to where people are actually asking for yoga classes, because we want to bring it to the United States as well, where we're going to have like all Black yoga classes.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just wanted to piggyback off of technically speaking. I hold a group I belong to holds a women's retreat every year, and it is quite refreshing just to get away and actually take part in some sort of healing practice. We usually do meditation retreats. It's really refreshing to, and mostly women of color. There have been some infiltrators, but mostly women of color who have come and really renewed themselves spiritually. So I definitely am checking out your website now and looking at the dates and everything. And I think this is an awesome thing that you have. And I'm greatly inspired. Thank you
so much. And yeah, retreats, a lot of people don't realize like retreats really, 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 really will transform you, or really will reset you, because you're being taken out of this environment that's constantly, constantly taking a toll on you, and being set in an environment that's there to just heal you. So retreats will do it for you.
Absolutely. Context of white supremacy. A couple other quick questions I wanted to get in. We didn't want to take up your whole evening. If you're listening and you have a question for Satya, you should go ahead and get your hand up. Do not lollygag and wait till the last moment if you think there's something that you want to ask. I guess one question, when you are practicing or instructing, lights on, lights off?
On for sure. Unless it's like, I think that you can do restorative with the lights dim, but I think lights should be on for sure. And that I think one of the biggest things is don't look at other people while you're practicing, and don't compare yourself. If someone can do something better than you, that's great, because that's where they're at in their practice. But point being, always focus on your own practice. It doesn't matter what other people can do in the class, because it's not a sport. You're not competing with the person beside you. It's about where you are at. But always, I like lights on, unless it's something more restorative and relaxing, then it would be more of dim lights with like candles.
Okay. I was able to take a lot of vinyasa classes where they did no lights. In Seattle, it's very dark in the wintertime, and so they would do the morning classes when the sun is not up, no lights. And then pretty much by 4:30, if you don't turn the lights on, it's going to be dark. They would not turn the lights on. And It was a little weird at first, but it accomplished the same thing that you were just talking about, where it, because it's dark, it makes it difficult to see the other people. So you end up focusing more on yourself just because, you know, you can't really see them. And yeah, it's a little odd at first, but yeah, I'm a big fan of no lights or natural lights for yoga. Do non-black, non-white females come to the retreat?
Non-black, non-white. You mean people that identify as like Latin and all, and then Indian and
right.
That's what you mean. Those people are still African at the core, you know. But no, they don't come into the retreat. They would have to identify as, you have to be a black person in this retreat. This is one space to get into. You need to be a black woman to get into the kids program. You need to be a child of color. Anything that I create will only be for black people. That's how we're doing it.
Okay. Right on. I wanted to ask as well, when you gave your commentary about gender being a construct, and you just say, I'm a black person, it does seem incongruent because it's Women of Color Healing Retreat, women being the first word. Why? I mean, it's not person of color.
No, because I have to speak to a certain audience, and most people do identify as women or don't know about gender not being a social construct, so I do want to speak to a certain audience, so I deliberately say, you know, it's for women of color, but I don't see, gender is just like a whole game to control us, to tell us how we're supposed to navigate the system, how we're supposed to work things. But I need to speak to a certain audience, and so I speak to women of color or black women. And I do want to eventually be able to hold space for black men, but I think it should be a black man, a person that identifies as a black man, because I feel like that's a very important thing as someone to come in and to have a healing space for black men as well.
Be nice to get down to Costa Rica to do some yoga. Do patrons have difficulty with the vegan diet and fasting from alcohol and smoking while they're participating in the retreat?
They don't have, well, they know, because when you sign up for the retreat, it's all on the website, you know, it's a vegan retreat, so they know what they're signing up for. But we give like stellar, excellent, excellent, excellent meals. I put everything. So I really, really customize this retreat. It's not one of those retreats where you get in and there's just a cafeteria. No, I sit down with the kitchen team, all black kitchen team. I sit down with them. We break down each food, you know, how it's going to be helpful for the morning. If we have yoga at a certain point, what meal would work for them if they're going to have the class 2 hours later. All of the food is organic. So when the women come in, they know that their bodies are about to be nurtured. And so a lot of people smoke on a daily basis, cigarettes, or they drink alcohol, or they're eating meat. And so knowing that you're going to be in this set controlled environment to just heal and just detox from that stuff, it kind of allows them to come in with a certain mindset, ready to be open for things. And I also tell them, you know, after they register, I send out emails, you know, telling them, prepare your body, try to go vegetarian for about 2 or 3 days before you get here. I send them tips on veganism, things like that. So it's not really a problem. And with the drinking, we don't go partying throughout the retreat. Our gates close at 8 p.m. And so after 8 p.m., we have like a quiet hour where people just are able to read or journal. Nobody's really talking. The phones are turned off and you just sit with yourself. So there's no partying or anything like that. But people, black people, we want that. And, you know, but we're taught that we just want to party and do all of those things. But we want environments like this. But because of how white society portrays us, we believe that we don't want these things.
Wow. Context of white supremacy. Satya X joining us live from Costa Rica. Are there any resources that you would recommend for any of our listeners, black people who might be interested in yoga, like things that you would say, hey, these are some of the materials that I would recommend that you check out besides your website, womenofcolorhealingretreats.com literature. It could be like books, videos, websites, anything that you would recommend, and material that would also help them decolonize the practice of yoga as they're learning or, you know, just seeking out their curiosity?
I would say definitely if you really want to get more deeper into the practice, to read the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, because that book, if you need a guide with yoga, it's going to give it to you, and get a version that's by a person of color, because there's a lot of white people out here writing their own versions of the Yoga Sutras. So make sure it's by a person of color, and read that book, and it's going to definitely guide you. The book changed my entire life. And learn about the yamas and the niyamas. The yamas and niyamas are the spiritual practices of yoga, and they basically tell you what you're learning on the yoga mat is exactly what's happening off the yoga mat. And so always learn about the yamas and the niyamas, and learn about the Yoga Sutras.
Great information. I'm going to do some homework myself. Do any of our listeners have a final question they want to get in before we wrap things up? Final question? Any of the folks that dialed in had a hand up?
Everybody? Oh, I have one more thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, if you had, we will go ahead, ma'am. We'll check on the listeners in a second.
So if you feel, because some people, you know, don't want to practice yoga because of the questioning of it being an Indian practice, even though Indian people are African, therefore it's an African practice, you can also just practice Kemetic yoga. And so if you want to practice Kemetic yoga, there's a woman, her name is Ona Hawk. She's actually on my website. You can go to her website. She has DVDs. Her information is amazing. She has created an entire chakra system that aligns with like African practices, and it's just amazing. So check her out, Ona Hawk. It's just Kemetic yoga, and it's African yoga. She'll be at my next retreat, but it's completely sold out. But check her website out.
And how many retreats do you offer?
I had a question.
Let's see. How many retreats do you offer per year, Satya?
This year it's going to be 6 retreats. It changes every single year. I change the amount of retreats because I want to do more kids programs in the States. So if I am able to do, if we have the funds to do the kids program, then I won't do retreats and we'll go to the United States and give, you know, free yoga to the kids out there.
Wow. Red in Nevada, did you have a question?
Yes, and I'll make this as quick as possible. Just one quick question. How are you dealing with, I guess, the anti-blackness there? I know that there was a question asked about, you know, people not really, or black people or people who identify as maybe black, not really being, I guess, maybe Pan-Africanist, which, I mean, I guess I definitely understand because it's not necessarily the black people's fault. But how are you basically dealing with that? I'm assuming yoga does help if you do encounter that. But that's the other question I had. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It does help. I deal with it, but I have a few black people in my life that are from Costa Rica, born and raised here, that I keep close to me. Anywhere that I go, any country that I go, I make sure that I find black people and I keep them close to me. And I tell them, we have to stick together. I don't care what you know. I don't care if you have this white mindset. We're going to have to do this. So in that way, that's how I kind of deal with it. And in the other way, it's always yoga. Yoga brings me back to myself. It brings me back to just disregarding anything about white people. And that's how I really live my life. I don't really focus on white people too much. I kind of just act as, I don't know, I kind of just navigate the world where their thoughts don't even matter because they are. Ultimately don't, you know?
That answer your question, Red. Any other folks have a question that they wanted to get in?
I have a question.
Ivy, go ahead.
Yes. Are there any particular people on the internet that you recommend that does videos teaching yoga, or just, you know, any... most, I guess, persons of color will do just a random search or?
I would say spread love. Her name is Kayla Ball. I want to make a list for everyone of Black yoga teachers, but I would say her name is spread love. Her name is Kayla Butler. She is a Black woman, and she does teachings in Miami, Florida, and she does videos on her Instagram page and on the internet. But I think that I'm going to make this list. I'm going to make a list of just Black people that are making videos for everyone to just have access to, and I'm going to put it up on the blog. And I'm going to put up different types of yoga, because people think that yoga isn't for them, but it could be the kind of yoga you're practicing. So some people may not want to do a crazy fast flow, and you can just do something more restorative because it's all still yoga. So I'm going to have different teachers that do different classes so that people can still can find a yoga that feels good for them.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. You can do one more. Anybody have a final question they wanted to get in? We satisfied everybody's curiosity. Grand, assume everybody is taken care of. The website, again, womenofcolorhealingretreats.com.
And you can keep up with us on Instagram. That's the best way.
You'll see all of their social media linked, the blog, the free Kids of Color program, which sounds amazing. I hope people support so that they can do more of the program. You should definitely take advantage in the New York area. I guess last thing or a final thought, it was, I think a few days ago, I was in class, once again, the only Black person present. And the instructor went around and he asked everyone just to give their name and how long you've been practicing. And I said 3 months, and everybody else went around. And some people said, you know, I've been practicing my whole life. And, you know, these were not like children saying this. And some people said, oh, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I think everybody in the class had been I think the average was about 6+ years was the average. And I just said, wow, that's a substantial amount of practice. Like, I cannot imagine the benefits that your body gets being able to do yoga routinely for 6 years or for your entire life. And then I thought about like what you were talking about in terms of things that Black people are encouraged because of white supremacy to be interested in. We're, you know, party and have a good time, that sort of thing, and bad food and all that other stuff. Also, physical activity. We're encouraged football, something that's going to totally destroy your body and kill you and give you brain damage. And basketball, which, I mean, I guess it's not as bad as football, but I can't think of a ton of, you know, great benefits that you're going to get from playing a lot of basketball. And you can't play basketball for life. Like, I don't know too many 70-year-olds who are doing slam dunks and shooting three-pointers. You can do yoga for your entire time on the planet, and it will have amazing benefits for you. If you had a final thought on that, I thought that was significant in terms of not, and certainly not saying every white person does yoga, because that's not the case, but I definitely see them having greater access and for a longer period than a lot of Black people that I've had contact with.
I think yoga, there's a lot of racism around it because it's a secret, you know? I think that white people want to dominate the practice because of how healing it is for us. You know, with yoga, we have the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. And so the sympathetic nervous system is flight or fight. And basically, it activates stress. So from police brutality, from seeing our brothers and sisters being murdered on social media, from things that we deal with in our everyday life, from dealing with systemic racism, your sympathetic nervous system is constantly, constantly being activated. And so with yoga, it actually activates your parasympathetic nervous system, which allows you to de-stress and to relax. So it allows you to heal. And I think that that's why there's so much racism around yoga that's underlining where white people do not want this secret to get out. Because if Black people practice yoga, I don't even know what would happen. You know, we would be able to heal ourselves, future generations. It would just be an entire different conversation. So I think that that's why there's just a lot of hidden things about yoga. And also with the amount of practice, the reason why I never like to talk about that with people is because there are people that have practiced for 20 years, white people, of course, that have practiced for 20 years and do not know what they are talking about. And I have met people that have practiced for 2 months and know everything that they need to, that they are saying. So the amount of years never really, really matters. You know, it's about what the person has learned about within their practice. But definitely with yoga, it can heal you. And it's not just something that people are saying because it's fun. It's because you're really working with your nervous system. And like you said, you know, basketball, all of these things, they're going to wear your body out. Yoga is going to heal your body from things that you thought wasn't going to be able to heal. Like, it literally allowed me to learn how to walk again. My yoga teacher, Kayla, she had, what did she pull? She pulled something, and it completely allowed her to heal it. I know so many black yogis that were injured, and yoga allowed them to heal from it. It's really serious, and I think that's why white people want to represent it so bad, because of how beautiful the practice is, that they only want to show themselves doing it. They don't want to show us doing it. It's so ridiculous.
I completely agree. And I guess the only thing I would add, the inversions, when I say inversions, that just means like when you're doing like headstands, handstands, that sort of thing, upside down. Some of them don't have to be that challenging, but they say one of the reasons that you do those is to change your perspective and even that growth process. I know I talked about that on the program as well when I was able to do my first forearm stand, the process to be able to build, to be able to do that, and the work and even the effort, the practice, as they call it, that where you can see the development to be able to do that, to be able to see yourself where something that you thought you could not do that then you can do. That can have a huge impact, particularly things that you think are difficult or that your body can't do, with all of the white supremacy programming that we get, that there's something wrong with us, something wrong with our body and our complexion and all of that. To be able to see yourself do things and to see your body do things that you couldn't do, I think that has a huge impact on your mind that definitely travels off of the mat.
I wasn't flexible before I practiced. I wasn't flexible at all. I was so disconnected from my physical body. I had no idea that I was trashing my body, that I was eating all the wrong food, and that I was basically participating in killing myself. And then yoga allowed me to look at my body completely different and to love it. And so that's definitely true. They don't want to see us like bump up our self-esteem. No, because what would that do, you know?
Absolutely. Black self-esteem, I think both of those would rise dramatically. I think most of the people that I know that do yoga on a regular basis, they come to have or I'll put it this way. The vast majority of people that I know who do yoga on a regular basis, unfortunately, most of them are classified as white. Doing yoga on a regular basis, you will have a higher body appreciation than you did before, and probably an overall higher level of self-esteem and competence than you did before. I think it's easily the major, major pattern that I've seen. And I think to see a whole lot of black people with that, and again, something you could do your entire life. This is not something when you're 55, can't, you know, play basketball anymore, can't play football. No, you could still be doing yoga, 55, 65, still be doing your practice and getting all of those great spiritual, mental benefits. I can totally understand why whites would want to colonize, dominate, and keep it away from black people. It's totally women of color healingretreats.com. Go be very curious, read the information, the blog, sign the mailing list. And I guess if you put the list together, if you put it on the website, then we can go check out the list and see, you know, instructors so other people can, you know, get cracking, do a little bit of yoga and see how you feel.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I'm so glad the Wi-Fi held out. We had concerns and they proved to be unfounded. I'm so, so glad we were able to have you on the program. It was phenomenal hearing from you. I definitely want to support if we can have you back on the program or do anything to help, you know, promote and plug the work that you all are doing. Let us know. Certainly I will exchange or forward or whatever I need to do to facilitate sharing info with some of the callers that you were speaking with. But just loved it. Love the work that you're doing. I'm definitely inspired to continue practicing and learn more. Just please keep up the work, and we hope to have you back on the program.
Thanks so much. And this platform is really, really amazing. All of your callers are so conscious and so amazing as well. And I'm looking forward to sharing like this entire platform with all of our subscribers so that they can hear another Black person talking about yoga and talking about the things that we need to be discussing, because there's just so many platforms that are talking about things that don't matter. And this is the stuff that matters within Blackness. So I'm really grateful for being on this show as well.
Oh, thank you so much. The pleasure was all ours. Women of Color Healing Retreats.com. Women of Color Healing Retreats.com. Linked in the website. Check out the information. Fantastic counter-racist effort, in my view. Again, joining us live from Costa Rica, Miss Satya X. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening, and we will definitely be in touch.
Okay. Thanks, family.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Take care. Context of white supremacy. Thank you so much to the guest who recommended her. And to even think, I'm not sure if this program would have even happened if my residence had not flooded. I had done yoga before, but I was not thinking at all about doing yoga or returning to do yoga prior to the flood. And the what motivated me to say, yes, I would like to go back and start doing yoga again was the stress from the flood. So I guess I can use a metaphor. When they make lemonade, life gives you lemons, make lemonade. This might be an example of that, but certainly I'm so glad that we had her on the program. If we have anybody who is interested, go check out the retreat. It sounds amazing. I would definitely check it out if possible, but yeah, go check it out. It sounds, they have videos and what have you, so you can see pictures and what it looks like, see some of the people who've been there. We played a video with a testimonial from some of the people speaking at the beginning of the program. If you're able to go, journal, take some notes, let us know how it is. But even beyond the retreat, just the self-care aspect, because that's something that I think Satya X emphasized consistently. Self-care. Dr. Welsing talked about that. Our caller, technically speaking, in Atlanta, emphasized that. Dr. Welsing's message about Black self-respect and us just taking care of ourselves and loving ourselves, so hugely important. Yoga can be a huge component of that. That is something that, like I said before, I think Mr. Fuller, when he talks about how the creator can send messages sometimes, and I just interpret those signals sometimes as messages that you are where you are supposed to be in terms of being on your cosmic assignment, being on duty. When I was in class and they kept repeating self-care, kept repeating self-care, kept repeating self-care, because that's something I had been saying consistently about racism, white supremacy, and it just can completely erode Black people's ability to engage in self-care. And that can just be a part of the stress and the toxicity of white supremacy. Context, even my instructor yesterday, context, consistently, and he does it all the time. Context, we're not just doing postures, we're not just hopping in these positions. They have a relationship. Your body, everything works together. Context, he says it all the time in class. I just take these as cues. You are where you are supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And I cannot stress enough, yoga has been huge for me at a time where I think I really would have had some major health issues, mental and otherwise, just with all of the trauma and dislocation with the flood. Yoga has been enormously helpful in dealing with all of this. Even just water consumption, because I'm doing yoga on a regular basis, I am very meticulous about paying attention to how much water I drink on a daily basis. That's something that I did not do before. I'm pretty sure everybody on this line right now could use an extra few ounces of water. Flint, Michigan. Any of the folks who dialed in, if you have a hand up. Oh, wait a minute. One last thing, and then I'll check if any of the folks who dialed in had a comment they wanted to get in. When I was in class today, the instructor, non-white, she did make a comment about mud and saying, oh, we always want to get rid of the mud and get rid of the mud. And then we see people and think of them as mud. And I was thinking of Mr. Fuller, where he was just talking about metaphors in the system of racism, white supremacy, and consistently darkness, things that are dark or associated with darkness, blackness, are, you know, talked about in a negative manner. But yeah, that did happen today. Anyway, if any folks dialed in, if you have a commentary, a word on the broadcast, what was shared, any of the information, feel free. Any of the folks who dialed in?
May I be heard?
Greetings, Red in Nevada.
Thank you for taking my call once again. I definitely feel like she's probably one of my favorite guests that have been on the program. She definitely seems a lot less confused. Didn't still fully understand the whole gender thing, but definitely BGQ, of course. But actually, while the commentary was still progressing, I was looking up yoga studios here, and I tried to Google black yoga studios in Southern Nevada, and it brought up like 10 different results and just going on different websites. And of course, none of them were black. I guess they just disregard the whole black thing. And just all of them were white. There was one where there was a person who may have looked somewhat non-white, but still very, very light complected. But then I did actually eventually find one at the very bottom of the list. It's actually a Kemetic yoga studio, and they do there's actually a doctor who leads it, and I guess she does actually do more of the Kemetic yoga. So I'll be checking into that, and then I'll have updates in the future. That's all I'll share. Thank you.
Spectacular. Definitely let us know how that goes. That's amazing. I'll be waiting eagerly to hear how that goes. Any other folks have commentary that they want to share?
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. Greetings, Ivy.
Greetings, Gus. I just thought, as I said before, that the program was very constructive and informative. I thought that she was awesome, and I echo Red that she sounded so much less confused, and she seemed very sweet, just very accommodating, just even wanting to do the list. And she was just really thorough with her answers, but wasn't, you know, too wordy and all of that. And I wanted to know, Gus, if technically speaking is still on the line, if I could give her my email, because I had tech questions for her about getting into the tech field. She was on the program, you know, a while back, and I really appreciated all of her commentary and insight and just the tech field and how that can help black people. And the reason I wanted to just give it to her directly is so that I don't, you know, take up your time and you trying to link us up and things like that. So I wanted to know if that is acceptable, if she's still online.
Are you still with us, technically speaking? She might not be with us. Yeah, she might not be with us. It's almost 11:30 in Georgia, so getting a little late. I guess you can just drop me an email, and then I can forward along. Thank you for being considerate of my time. I do appreciate it, but I think we can do you a solid.
Okay, thank you so much, Gus.
Any other folks have a question, comment, anything they want to get in?
Can I be heard? Firefighter first, please.
I just wanted to once again briefly commend the guest that was on, and I can see where retreat could be something constructive, because regardless of females, being there only, females at the same time have contact and perceivably constructive interaction with a lot of different types of people. And I'm specifically talking about non-white black people. And from that, we all would benefit from it, you know, as far as that concern. I can see where something like that can be very, very constructive based on what I learned in this today's session. Thank you.
Thomas in New York. Appreciate that, retired firefighter.
Really, interesting, because I tell you, I'm totally yoga illiterate. So it's definitely something that, and I'm not sure if I can do it. I'm not that flexible, but I could definitely see benefits from it. I asked the question because I watched a few YouTube videos of this gentleman named Nature Boy, and you know, I thought it was very interesting. He moved to Costa Rica. He had a group of people who were living with him, and they were living off the land. And he was, you know, pretty much, you know, walking around naked in the jungle. And, you know, that, I mean, they lived like, you know, pretty odd. So, you know, then I saw that the Costa Rican police were holding him there and not releasing him, and they needed the United States to do some things to extradite him back to the United States. So that's why I asked the question, because so she said that she was familiar with him and was a roommate of his. So also, you know, it's just so when I listen to our people speak, and they're so confident in their speech, and they're talking about, they're pretty much basing a lot of their logic on a theory that is yet to be proven. Like I said, the welding theory, that's law. I mean, I have not seen any case where anything has disputed that. But the out of Africa theory, that is the core root of eugenics and anthropology and Egyptology, a huge part of the Platology, it's all based on this theory. And at the core root, you know, Dalton pushing out of the Africa theory comes up with eugenics, Darwinism. All of this comes from this theory, and our people are just so quick to, you know, everything they say is Africa. It just it's like I just listen to people and I'm just like, wow, this is like a total spell. And I'll mute my line. Thank you, Gus.
Well, any other folks have commentary that they wanted to get in?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. Imhan DC.
Yes, sir. I had a question as to, in your opinion, should males and females be separated in yoga class? Let's say if we were doing this, let's say I tried to do this in my city. I have a whole lot of people that don't really know each other. They deal with each other. You know, they have different ways of how they deal with male and female. A lot of males may not treat the females correctly. So my question is, do you feel that it's better to have the males and the females separated, or is it good for the balance?
It might, you know, come down to what you want to, if you're talking about a retreat type of thing, that's the context that we're talking. If it's a retreat, as opposed to just a class, I would think if it's just going to be a class, they do have those classes. I think, our guest, she talked about the retreat, and they have other classes that are just, this is just for females. I am not aware of a class that I can think of that is just for males, although I guess such a thing probably does exist. I'm just not aware of that. I am more aware of classes that are exclusively for females. I can see a value in that sort of thing, most of the classes that I've been to, everybody is together. If it's just going to be a class for like an hour or 90 minutes or whatever it is, I think most people are around, you know, mixed company, males and females, enough that they can behave themselves in a group for 90 minutes. So I would just say, hey, you know, we can just all take it together and, you know, chat it up or whatever. If it's a retreat, and it's going to be like we're staying together for whatever, a number of days or a week or however long it is, and, you know, doing yoga as a part of that and bunking together, again, I could see a value. If it's going to be an all male thing and you just want to work around, you know, masculine energy, or all female thing, you want to work around feminine energy, I can see a value in that. I could also see a value in having everyone together, just but kind of depend on what you're, what are you pursuing? What are your intentions? Did that answer your question? Was I off topic?
Absolutely. No, it answered my question. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Maybe to make it a little more clear, I like if it was a continuous thing and it was not a retreat, or we're going out to another location, but like a continuous class in the city. And I just thought, you know, for I've seen, you know, things get out of hand when I know males and females know how to interact, but, you know, I've seen things get out of hand. I'm trying to figure out.
I'm not going to say I've never seen that, but like in the context of a yoga setting, right? Like other settings, absolutely. I've seen that where things can go really bad, but in a yoga setting, like I haven't, or I'm even thinking like a gym setting, right? Because I mean, that's basically kind of a workout type thing, or if you're going to do a more meditation, I mean, people, I wouldn't think that could go bad too bad, but yeah, I don't know. I would think you could have males and females together in that, and it shouldn't go bad if we're just going to regularly meet for 90 minutes. I would also think the type of people that would come to a yoga event might not be as prone to be rowdy, but I might be mistaken in thinking that.
Yes, that makes sense. Thank you.
I guess people can think about that too. If there was going to be like a weekly or regular meeting to do yoga, if having everyone together, black males, black females, or having it separate, can think about that if you have a preference. I guess I'm just accustomed most of the time, you know, it's everybody's together. I would think, yeah, we could just all take the class together and chat about whatever, or just do the postures and meditate a little bit. Anything else folks wanted to get in before we conclude?
I wanted to add something.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's awesome for her to have the free children's yoga, and even just to have a retreat for black women. And she, if she's charging for this, she could get more money if she allows, you know, other groups in. And so I just think that that's really remarkable and commendable for her. And also, excuse me, I wanted to add that it wasn't just her commentary that I found very informative. I found yours as well, and I always learn a lot when you speak on yoga. And the last thing I wanted to say is about that mud people thing, or whatever it was that they said at that class. I instantly assumed that the same thing I always assume when those metaphors are employed, that it was an attack. So I felt like it was a personal attack on you and anyone else in there who was black. I could be incorrect, but I'll say that for the things that I've said about myself, this shouldn't come as a surprise that when you said that, I instantly got a visceral reaction. I instantly got offended and angry, that I felt that black people were being insulted, and I also don't like the renegade being insulted, and I'll mute my line.
Well, it was a non-white instructor who said the comment about the mud people, so not that that, you know, means it couldn't be a personal attack, but that, you know, that certainly does factor in. But I mean, I sensed it immediately, and it was said twice. That metaphor was invoked repeatedly, and I sensed it every time I registered it. However, I guess I could add this. This would be my final comment. I wish I had brought this up when Satya was with us, that I do have access to a lot of non-white instructors, black male, black female, non-white male, female, all the time, every day. Had non-white instructor today, going to have one tomorrow, had one yesterday, all the time. However, white identification is extraordinarily high. And I often feel, even when I have non-white instructors, and the bulk of the non-white instructors I've had have been amazing, I get way more attention from them. They, you know, call me by my name and remember. It is an amazing thing when you get a yoga instructor and you get to take classes with them on a regular basis. Like one of my favorite instructors, non-white female, I get to take her class like 5 times a week. And I've been taking her class for months now. So I've probably taken more than 20 classes with her. When you get to see someone repeatedly like that, and they get to learn your body very well, so they know where you're strong, they know where you're weak, they know where, you know, you might need help or what have you. It could be super helpful just going through your practice. But cowbell, lots and lots of white identification, and that also has a huge impact on the whole environment, which I thought it would from the beginning. There's no way you could be a non-white yoga instructor in this area and not be white identified. Most of your job would be about soothing and helping and catering whites. As I've said, most of the classes, I'm the only black person. So that's what you would have to do for your career to flourish, get really good at that in the context of a yoga class. So I was not surprised. It just, you know, I often feel that even with the non-white instructors, my experience would be even better if I were white, even though the instructor is non-white. I hope I was clear in articulating that. With that,
well, I probably just missed it. I was just going to quickly say, I probably, you know, missed what you said in terms of the person being non-white. That changes a lot of things. And even when I thought they were white, shortly after, my visceral response kind of changed a little bit because of the things that you have said about having a visceral response, that we would always be angry if that were the case. And like even the things that you said at the White Ally Toolkit. So just thank you for all of your help with that. And I'm your mind.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, you don't ignore it. It registered, you know, when I heard it. But she's tragic arrangement, you know, hey. Anywho, folks, anything else? Folks satisfied? Everybody commented? We'll be here Thursday, Workplace Racism, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Looking forward to chatting it up. Codification. PBS documentary on Winnie Mandela. Man, I recommended it before. I said that was way more important than Marvel's trashy Black Panther, which I have no intention of seeing. But I watched PBS's documentary on Winnie Mandela. It should have been watched before. You should definitely make time to view it now. It is amazing, super constructive, lots of just great material where she explains her philosophy on counter violence and why she chose that. Phenomenal. Check it out. It just came out like weeks ago for PBS. It was available online. They normally put a time limit, so it'll only be like you can watch it online for a few weeks, but I'll check to see if it's still available online. I'm sure it's available in other places. It's a PBS documentary, so I'm sure you'll be able to go to your library or wherever locally and get it for free. Take it home, watch it at your convenience if you so choose, but it's great. The passing of Winnie Mandela, again, who I said, phenomenal illustration of someone who dedicated their time, energy, and existence in every way possible to solving the problem. That said, again, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. I think at the Women of Color Healing Retreats, there's fasting from smoking and alcohol consumption. That is important. Dr. Welsing certainly would co-sign. I think anything that we can do to preserve our brain computers and overall health would be phenomenal. Racists are way happier seeing us intoxicated, alcohol, cigarettes, whatever it is, as opposed to taking care of ourselves, eating well, eating vegetables, doing some yoga so that we can think clearly, come up with new concepts to immediately eradicate permanently the problem, racist man, racist woman, racist child. Also, buckle up every time we are in a vehicle. Certainly, we should be sober there as well. But buckle up every time. Let's do everything we can to minimize contact with race soldiers. Buckling up is a super easy one, whether you are a driver or passenger. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other Black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of Black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another Black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.